Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock, and we would like to welcome you to Northern Gardening. That was the Pincushion Warblers, Barbara Jean Johnson and Nathan Baker, and they wrote that song especially for this program, and our gardens are full, I think, at this time of year. This is Joan Farnham and Anne Rosenquist. Hi, Anne.
Hi there, Joan.
And we're hosting the garden this week, and we'll be talking about men who garden. Guests are Jan Horek. Hello, Jan.
Hello. Nice to be here.
We're glad to have you.
I had my lettuce before I came, so I'm in rare form.
And Del Rosenquist. Hello, Del.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, this should be really a fun program. And one of the things we'd like to do is, if you're a male gardener and would like to make some comments about how ridiculous it is to separate men and women in the garden, or you learn from your dad, or you have a comment about men in the gardens or gardening in general, call us at 387-1070 or 1-800-473-9847, or you can email questions and comments to WTIP@boreal.org.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to step in and say we are in the midst of our Come On In membership drive. And we have less than 24 hours left, and we're moving right along. We've heard from a lot of people. If you haven't had a chance to go to the phone, we ask that you please do and become a member listener here of WTIP. It's very easy to do. You can call us at 387-1070 or 1-800-473-9847. Or you can go online to WTIP.org and click and join. Or you can come on in and pledge your support for us right here in our building. And you can watch Northern Gardening happening right before your eyes through the window there and see what a man in the garden looks like in the radio station.
Well, you know, why don't we just start out? Jan, do you think men garden differently than women?
You know, I really don't know. I know my wife and I are always in the garden together, and it seems just like cleaning cabins. She does the beds, I do the wiping up and the bathrooms and everything, and we've all gone our own direction in the garden. And she likes to do some things, I like to do the other things, and we just mesh really well. And it seems we get along in the garden, but when you get back in the house, well, no, we still get along when we get in the house too, but the garden is user-friendly.
So what do you like doing in the garden, and what does she like doing in the garden?
She always orders all the seeds.
Okay.
So I called Del last night. I said, what if she asks us, what are you growing in your garden? I know it's spinach, but I have no clue what kind, you know, or cabbage or broccoli or whatever. So she takes care of that whole bunch because she's very organized, and she's kept a journal book for years and years and years, so we can rotate our crops and we're not planting the same thing in the same spot and everything.
Okay.
And then likewise, it seems like she takes care of the replanting of the lettuce, and she thins out the carrots and the beets. I hate that, but I take care of all the tomatoes and the cold crops and everything, so don't ask me how we each took those jobs. It just happened.
Oh, that's neat. So, yeah. How about you, Del?
Well, I do everything. there's no thing that I like better than anything else. I just like to be out in the garden.
Well, you have a really beautiful garden. What do you have this year that's growing well, and what are some of the challenges this year for you?
The challenges is something ate all my beets, or I fought with things. I've got a few beets up, but that's about it. The only thing, cucumbers didn't come real well, but the rest of everything else going wild.
Yeah, I saw your pole beans about 3 weeks ago, and I went, wow, they're just covering this pole, and mine are barely out of the ground. When did you plant your pole beans?
I haven't got pole beans.
Oh. Oh, well, oh. What are those on that? You have something just climbing up these poles in your garden. Wrong garden.
Peas?
Is it peas?
P peas there, but they're way in the back. I don't think you'd see them.
Huh. Well,
might be weeds.
Well, it sounds like my pole beans are like yours. This is the first year I've tried them because one of our guests sent pole beans. You have to try pole beans. They're up about 4 inches, and there they sit, and I haven't even had time to pound the poles in for them yet, but they aren't growing.
Yeah. Hmm.
So I don't know what's going on. If they need warmer weather, it's plenty warm.
Yeah, mine just started growing this week.
Okay.
Yeah, finally. So one of the questions we had about, you know, men and gardens is we were wondering, do you preserve what you grow, and do you usually go in the kitchen and do that, or does your wife usually do that?
We both do.
Oh, really?
Yes. We don't freeze too many vegetables. I mean, beans we don't freeze, and peas we don't freeze, but tomatoes we can, and pickles.
Well, you canned tomatoes. How many cans of tomatoes usually do put up every year?
Yeah, 30 maybe, 40. Ooh.
Yeah, but I've seen the number of tomatoes that you transport across the country down south every year. Bushels.
Well, before we go down south, I generally take what I want, and then I distribute to the neighbors, ripe and green and everything. So they get generally a bushel
of tomatoes. How many bushels? Okay, let's talk about tomatoes. All right, and you asked the questions about tomatoes. Everybody loves to grow tomatoes.
Well, what type of tomatoes do you guys grow? Or what's your favorite?
Red.
Yeah.
I know Kathy's a vegetarian, so we take care of canning tomatoes too, and 2 years ago it was 75 quarts.
Whoa.
Last year it was 65, and we still have 2 quarts left before this season's tomatoes are available, but we haven't had tomatoes in a while because we're saving those 2 quarts so we can say we lasted the whole season. They would have been gone a long time ago because it seems like everything Kathy makes for her veggie meal, she likes to put those canned tomatoes in. Or she has a wicked chili that takes a couple of quarts of tomatoes also. So this year, and I could almost use a drum roll, I have 143 tomato plants.
Oh, my
and
where
every,
are they?
They're in my garden, but everybody says, my God, I've gone nuts or eccentric, and I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I'm trying to break that. I'm competitive, and I want to get more than 75, you know, canned quarts of tomatoes this year. And I know that year when we did get 75 was a dry year, and we were close to 100 tomato plants.
Holy mackerel.
But San Marzanos are great big Romas, and we have 50 of those plants, and I think they're from South America. I'm not sure. I see it once, I get excited, and I said, we have to get those, and then I forget where they're from and why you get them, but they're really big 3-4 inch Romas.
Wow.
And do they clean easy when you're canning them? And are they good? And they don't seem to rot at all on the vine. They just sit there and smile until you pick them. And we found that they work better outside than in the hoop house. So this year, all my 50 plants of San Marzanos are outside the hoop house.
Interesting.
Whether they work or not that well outside the hoop house, they did last year, but every year is different. And so tomatoes are tough.
So the rest of your tomatoes are in this hoop house?
Yeah, I have 50 in the hoop house. And
how big is your hoop house?
The 12 by 14 that Howard Abramson taught down at the folk school.
Well, that's a good size house.
It is. Yeah. It is. And so I, you know, then you're trying to figure out how can I get the most tomatoes in this hoop house? And I do have 50. It turns out to be, and I hate to fly, but the seating on a jet plane when you go down to the Twin City Airport, you know, you have two by the windows, 2 rows by the windows, and 3 down the middle. And then you can walk down the aisles and, you know, serve cocktails or whatever. But I pluck the suckers and things like that. But and they are twice as big already this year as the ones outside.
Holy mackerel.
But I've been contemplating putting a plastic, like you did, a plastic shield around that whole bunch of San Marzanos. And then yesterday I read you can take roofing paper, the black roofing paper, about 12 by 18 inch sheet, and run that all the way around the outside at the base of that shield. And that tends to absorb the sun, and the heat heat and that rises and help those tomatoes. And they did a study in some state somewhere, and they got 25% to 40% more tomatoes.
Is this horizontally on the ground or vertically?
Vertically on the ground to go right where your plastic is going up.
So you'd put
And the sun heats that up, supposedly, and it heats up your tomatoes outside. I know I'm in my office, I always had a 1994 tomato class, and I'm smiling, and I have two little two-inch tomatoes, and that was it. So I always say, you've come a long way, baby, but if you live on the shore, you can't grow tomatoes.
Well, how far away from the lake are you? I mean, you're right there on the lake.
The garden's about a block away and probably about 80 feet vertically up.
Yeah, so you do get those cold, if there are going to be cold winds off the lake.
Yeah, very much so. And that, I know Dell was mentioning his peppers, and I have to grow peppers in a hoop house. Kathy's basil is not a hoop house, just a window house. And Kathy's basil are in a window house too, otherwise we wouldn't get that great.
What's a window house?
Just old windows that you scrounge from your neighbors when they're remodeling. And, you know, I have a window on top and four sides. And so that seems to work too. Or you could put a few tomatoes in there too. But
Now, Dale, you have a greenhouse too. You have just growing peppers in there, or do you grow tomatoes in there too?
That's the only thing I have in there.
Ah, well, your tomatoes are outside.
Yep. I've got one celery plant in there. That's
a celery plant.
it seems like everybody has their own tomato that grows well, like Early Girl or New Girl, Juliet's, the yellows, the little cherry ones. That almost any of those grow up here. But I know when I moved up here in 75, there was an old guy that lived in Silver Bay, and he sold New Yorker plants for a buck a piece. And New Yorker, he would that was his fun money for the year. He'd grow 2,000 New Yorker plants and sell them to all his neighbors for a buck a piece, and he swore by them. And here I've been here 36 years, and I've never tried New Yorker yet. But I've always remembered that name.
Yeah,
and,
it's
and
a great
I don't
name.
Know if any if you guys have tried New Yorker
never
ever.
Heard
I
of
saw it.
It
in the book today, so
I never heard of it. How about you, Dale? What varieties are you growing of tomatoes?
I've got a little bit of everything. I've got something that it's a sweetie cherry tomato.
And a sweetie cherry tomato?
It came up by itself in the middle of the garden, and it got twice as the biggest tomatoes on it. So I kept the seeds, and now Ann and I are both planting them, and they get, 2 inches, inch and a half.
I've already harvested some ripe ones from my garden, and they're not in a hoop house or plastic or anything.
Wow.
They're ripening already.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. And they're called, they're just...
I don't know what they are now.
Do you save the seeds every year?
He gave me one last year, and I saved the seeds and started it.
So how do you do that? What do you do when you save seeds? I mean, how do you do that from a tomato so that it doesn't rot, so the seed stays viable, you dry it out, you
I actually took them out and tried to wipe them a little bit and put them on a plastic plate, a throwaway plastic plate, and just kind of peeled it off and threw it in a plastic baggie, and it still had pulp on it.
Wow.
But then when I planted the seeds, I had twice the number of plants from the number of seeds I planted. I don't know how that works, but so they must have worked.
That is cool.
I use a newspaper. Scrape the inside out on a newspaper. Don't worry about the pulp.
Oh, okay.
It all dries. Scrape it off the paper, and they'll grow.
Wow. I mean, so where do you store it in the winter? Through the envelopes, or in the newspaper?
In a newspaper. I don't scrape it off the newspaper. I just roll it up and put it in a can.
Interesting.
Very good. Well, you're listening to Northern Gardening here on WTIP. Northern Gardening is a locally produced program with local people on board. And if this is something that interests you, you can always call and pledge your support 387-1070 or 1-800-473-9847, or you can go to our website and click and join. And also, if you have any questions for our gardeners today, as always, you can call in, leave your questions or comments. Same numbers, 387-1070 or 800-473-9847.
So, Jan, we didn't talk about is growing well. Obviously, your tomatoes are growing well. What else is growing well in your garden, and what are the challenges this year you've had?
Well, it's kind of fun. Like, Dale goes down south, too. So before we come back, when we're going through Indiana, Illinois, I always look for a greenhouse. And I like to grab five, like Roma plants, five cherry plants, but five broccoli for sure.
Okay.
And then some romaine lettuce and some, like, bib lettuce. And I get it home right away. And we got home April 16th. The first thing I do then is slap my plastic on the hoop house, because I watched Dell's hoop house one winter, and I notice it snowed quite a bit, and he had his plastic on, and it really collapsed. So I learned, I don't reinvent the wheel. I just, that's kind of that Dell's theorem or something. If you leave your plastic up in the winter, it will collapse. So especially, I think, by the shore when you get these heavy snows. So first thing I do is put up my hoop house. Second thing is I turn it over, and then I plant all that stuff I brought back. And then, so we had already, you pick one lettuce leaf kind of from each plant. You have to take it a little at a time until they grow. But, you know, I'm happy that we can have fresh salad April 16th, because the minute we got there, we started, and we've been eating ever since. And now they're big. And in fact, our bike trail DNR guy came through. I said, "Do you want any lettuce?" He said, "Sure." So we gave him a big romaine and a big bib, because we have
wonderful.
Too much. But he said, "Oh, the Rellies are coming. They'll love this." So kind of fun. So all the coal crops, you know, that we've had five big heads of broccoli already. 2 weeks ago. And so we're just eating the shoots now.
Wow.
And I know at our house we like pizza, but it's always broccoli pizza and like tofurkey with Kathy. And I'll put some roadkill on it. But, you know, and then you red pepper, whatever else you want. But it's just kind of fun. There's so much in the garden with your garlic, your onions you can throw in. The trick is to grow enough so you can keep them the whole year. And like we start last fall with 300 garlic plants.
But
only 200 came up because of that late rain we had. And I had 6 inches of mulch, and that rain goes through and it froze them out. One year we lost everything.
Oh my gosh.
So I called Howard Abramson. They're the master gardeners. I said, "How's your garlic?" He said, "We lost it all. It was that darn rain, and then the ground froze." So I know the 200, we use garlic every day, because that's our health insurance, and plus it keeps your friends away borrowing all your stuff because, you know, the garlic. only kidding. But anyway, 200 garlic bulbs won't last the year, even for just a couple.
Yeah, that's a lot of land. How big is your garden?
Boy, I think 80 by about 30, 35, but we pack it in there pretty good.
Boy, you really do.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because it's on the bike trail, so when the bike trail people came through it, that wasn't the bike trail, and they said, "All right, this will be a point of interest," and it's really been fun.
Oh,
different people biking, they always come by on their bikes, "Hey, nice garden," and I always go, "Too many weeds, can you help?" And of course, nobody's ever stopped to help with the weeds yet, but Dell was mentioning we found a new critter this year, and we're wondering whether it's a gypsy moth larvae. All of Kathy's parsley was chewed down at the ground, and it looks like spit from a spittle bug or a little cocoon, but in that thing is a little worm. And that's we know what cutworms are because we always have cutworms, and we've killed about 100 of them this year. But likewise, that little worm we were saving one parsnip plant so we could get seeds from it, and we found that same cocoon up there, and there's that little worm again. And it had eaten the top of the parsnips where the seeds are supposed to be.
Ooh, Diane Booth, if she's listening, should call in.
Yeah. I know. I was going to give her a ring and find out if anything, because I know there are gypsy moths flying around, but I've never seen those before.
But gypsy moths don't eat
carrots.
Carrots or parsnips.
Family.
Boy.
That's all from the carrot family. So I think it's something to do with carrots.
With carrots?
Yeah.
See, so I didn't know. I was just taking a guess. But I'm going to save one and show it to her and see if she could come up with it. But Kathy was weeding her lettuce yesterday, and I hear, "Oh, gross," and I hear squishing. Because by now, if you have cutworms, they are fat because they've been feeding on all your good stuff, and it's kind of fun. But, you know, not everybody's into squash and cutworms.
This is men in gardens.
It is.
Maybe this is boys in gardens.
Revenge. Or else you can throw them out on the bike trail, too. And I love to see, you know, the biker doesn't know they're out there. And if there's too many, I'm sure one of these days a biker will end up on his side. But we don't have that many, thank goodness.
Well, what about deer? We'll talk about, you know, predation on your garden. Does anybody have problems with deer? And if you do, what are you doing? I think you put a new fence up this year, Dal.
Well, I just propped up the old one, but anything outside the fence is fair game for the deer, and I've had trouble with them in squash this year.
Oh, really?
Other years, I've had squash for years, and they never bothered it, but they like to eat the fresh tips of the vine.
Oh, no.
So that cuts off the vine.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that will affect production for sure, won't it?
They eat anything, I think. I say they didn't eat potatoes, and someone told me they ate every bit of their potatoes right down to the ground. So.
Oh, what about you? Do you have deer?
There was a. I ended up 30 years. I was fine, and I had to put up a fence. I bought the cheapo, just some mesh from Menards, 100 feet for $12-14, and then when the steel stuff was on sale, I ended up buying that, and that's what I'm putting up right now, the metal fence.
How tall?
I went with the 6, but I use 8-foot, the 8-foot, you know.
Post?
Post, yeah, that you can get. And then I put just a wire on the top so they won't go over. But then I know Henry Wessler down in the West End, he has the solar three-strand wire that you get at Menards, and it's electric. It's a solar panel.
Oh.
And so they have a beautiful garden there. And he had a buck that sized up the three strands of wire, gets way back there, goes through between strand 1 and 2, tucks his leg in, and he flops in the garden, eats what he wants, and then he got out the same way. So it's amazing. The animals adapt. And yep. I'm on the phone last night, and I see a new woodchuck running through the yard.
Yeah, I've been hearing about woodchucks.
Oh, man, because we took care of 7 of them down the road 2 years ago, and then last year we had a reprieve from woodchucks. So a lady from Lutzen stopped on the bike trail, and she said, "Why didn't I think of this?" She saw my fence. She has evidently moved into Lutzen, and she's a gardener, and she says she has rabbits, woodchucks, and deer. She said, "How the heck am I supposed to garden around here?" And I said, "Hey, welcome to the North Shore, because that's what you have to put
up
with."
Well, I hear there are more woodchucks here than in past years.
Really?
Apparently they're really a problem. Live trapping is, I guess, the solution. We don't have woodchuck in town, do we?
Yes, we do. I chased one out of the garden last year.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
I actually cornered him.
So, and he didn't come back? You scared him?
I scared him to death.
We had some people from Stillwater who had, they were staying in a cabin. They brought a big woodchuck trap because they used to have a garden. They always had woodchucks. So they said, "All you got to do is give us carrots or celery." And so every morning when they came out for their cup of coffee, they'd give me the thumbs up because their cabin was below our lodge if they got another woodchuck. And they did. And I'd run down, you know, take them a couple miles down the road on the Onion River Road where nobody lives and let them go. Well, they ended up catching 5 for me.
Holy mackerel. And so that's what you put as bait for woodchucks, as carrots or celery?
Yeah, that's what they had tried back home, and they said it worked. Because celery kind of smells a little bit until it dries out.
But that, I don't think, Dale, you'd be willing to donate your soul celery plant to that, would you?
No.
No.
I don't have woodchucks. Never had.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know either. Huh. Celery. You were talking about good things. We had celery. I mean, it was over 1 foot long.
Oh, my goodness.
And we put it in early this year, and I always think of celery and needing warmth and a lot of water and this and that, and I'm amazed that that just has shot up like nobody's business, and we're eating it, you know, already, too.
Well, you know, one of the things that it seems like men gardeners talk to each other about gardening. I mean, you all the stories you've told us, you know, people you've talked to are actually men gardeners. Do you find that's sort of, you have like a little group of people that talk to each other? As I know women, I don't call you and talk to you about my garden, Jen, but I do call Anne. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's sort of a camaraderie that in the garden sort of feel?
Well, you always talk garden and you talk fishing.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand because, you know, you're trying to bring home the harvest, see? Yeah. And we have better harvesting in our gardens than we do when we're up on Cascade or Brule or wherever. So I think that's probably it. So, you know, who knows? So I do have a funny story that, you know, and I don't know if you say sexist or what, but three ladies from Chateau Le Beau had walked over and they're looking at the garden, and one of the ladies happened to have a unit over there, and she wasn't the one talking, and the other lady, well, what's that, Brussels sprouts? And they're giving her the tour and this and that, and the one lady says, my God, the lady of the house sure has a nice garden here. And I happened to be in my hoop house, and I stood up, my old 6'1", 200 pounds, and I said, excuse me, the what of the house? And she says, sorry. But I think even, you know, it's perceived that gardening is a female
occupation.
Yeah. Who knows? I know for me, my parents are from Czechoslovakia. Everybody in the old country, they had no money, so they all gardened. So they came to this country, and when I was 3 years old, I remember them turning over the whole backyard at the parsonage in Silver Lake, which is west, it's a bohemian community west of the Twin Cities by Hutchinson. And the first thing we did, you know, I had to help too. You pick the grass, throw the rocks, and you smooth everything, and at least we're going to eat. And that's kind of, my dad died when I was 10, and the other kids in the family were 8, 3, and 1. So my mother's getting $50 a month Social Security. We get $50 a month. $250 a month, family of five, it doesn't go too far. But if you have a big garden, it goes very far.
So that's where you learn.
So my mother was canning everything, freezing everything. We never were lacking for food.
Oh, that is so.
So that's kind of where I came from. And so I've been gardening every year ever since. So,
okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Dell? Where did you learn to garden?
My dad was a big gardener.
He was.
He planted like 150 tomato plants too, but he sold them in a little stand in front of the house.
Ooh.
He had a little extra money, and my mother would take care of the stand, and he would do the gardening.
So you used to go help him weed?
Oh, yes.
That's what I remember, too. My mother divvied out jobs to all four kids before he went to Little League or swimming lessons. You're picking the peas, you're shelling them, I'm pulling the suckers on the tomatoes, and I don't know what the other one did, but the minute you were done, you could go. And we always grabbed a kohlrabi in the garden, and we peeled it with our teeth on the way down because the St. Croix River was about a half a mile away, and other kids would look at you, what the heck are you chewing on? And you wouldn't understand. But kohlrabi are great.
Yeah, they are. Okay, we've got some news.
Yes, this is Deb Benedict. I've been out answering phones, and we've got a listener comment for one thing. Mm-hmm. The caller said what's eating parsnips could be the caterpillar of the black swallow-tailed butterfly.
Oh.
Ooh.
So gee, you don't want to kill insight. That guy. Okay. Yeah.
There's some insight. And we had a renewing member up her pledge because she is getting just the biggest kick out of Jan and Dell. So she said they ought to have these characters on more often.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
All right.
So
thank her for pledging.
We
might have to get her name and get her some tomatoes here at the end of the season.
That's great. Anonymous person, you're going to get some tomatoes. Well, I can give you her name. Yes, I can do that.
That's good.
But I just want to take a minute here, and because we want to spend all of our time on Northern Gardening, but just to remind you that we are in the last 24 hours of our on-air Come On In membership drive. We've had a great showing of folks, of support, of bratwurst cooking, and we've just had a great week. And we end tomorrow at noon. If you haven't made your pledge yet and you're listening to Northern Gardening, now would be the time to do it. We have our good friend Jan out waiting to take your call. We have 70 new members, 194 renewing members, for a total of 264 pledges. I think our large largest drive. We had 277 pledges. So that's Ooh. One goal we want to break this time.
Yeah.
And we have, let's see, we have $176 to go to the $22,000 mark. So, boy, wouldn't that be great to get that $176 during Northern Gardening.
It really would.
The numbers to call for comments, for questions are 387-1070 or 1-800-473-9847. So thank you, guys. Carry on.
All right. Oh, that's so good. It would be great if we had some more pledges, wouldn't it? We could hit the 22,000 with this program. Okay, so I
have a question.
All right.
What about weeding? Do you guys like to weed?
You read my mind. I was going to ask the same thing because we're inundated. We have purslane. And Dave Gustafson has horses on the other end of the county, and I made the mistake. He said, no, it's been composting for 3 years. You won't get any weeds at all. We have so many new kinds of weeds in our garden, so now I'm sticking with chicken more than ever. I figure chickens, you know, they eat the same stuff, and I don't think I'm...
Where'd you get the chicken manure?
Renee Fromm down in Silver Bay.
I
cleaned her house out. I'll offer to clean anybody's chicken house out if I can have the manure. See?
Oh.
So people jump at that chance if they aren't gardening. So,
yeah.
But boy, weeding, you know, that's why we're trying to mulch more this year.
That purslane stuff, I don't care if you can eat it or not. It's no fun.
Well, that's it. And I'm looking at a natural foods vitamin book, and half the vitamins have purslane in it. So I'm going, why can't I sell this stuff? But I haven't found an outlet yet, I guess. But man, I could be a wealthy man because I have more purslane than I have vegetables. So.
Yeah. So what are you mulching with? And do you worry about slugs when you mulch?
We do, and we get slugs around the edge, so we're not mulching around the edge. But I've been reading different things, and if I just use my grass clippings, they tend to grow through. So Kathy says, put a little newspaper down. And I read in a book that your newspaper and your leaves or grass clippings at the end of the season, use your tiller and till it all in, and you're good to go for next year. So that's what we're trying, but I only have about an eighth of mine mulched right now, but I've been letting my grass grow, so that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Oh, which is?
More mulching and
cutting. More mulching. Yeah. Oh, so you let your grass grow so you have something to... Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so, but the trouble is it takes you forever to cut your grass because you go down once and down back and your bag is filled up. I don't have a riding lawnmower, so maybe that's next. We could share, Del.
So, Del, what do you do? Do you like to weed?
No, I don't, and I do mulch. I saved my leaves from last year. And put them in a pile, and this about this time of the year I'll mulch in between the rows.
And you don't have you have to worry about slugs or anything liking to live underneath there.
If there's any, the slugs get into anything, I use wood ash around it.
Oh.
And that keeps them away.
Oh, so you sprinkle the wood ash on the mulch or on the ground?
No, like around the tomato plant.
Mm-hmm.
Just around the base, so they can't get to it.
Oh, that's neat. How deep and how wide?
You don't just sprinkle it around the outside of it. Just as long as they won't crawl through that wood ash to get to the tomato plant.
Oh, that sounds better.
You gotta clip all the leaves up to where the leaves aren't touching the ground.
Right. Okay. What about you, Ann? What do you do? Do you mulch?
I did last year, but I had a lot of slugs. And then I had those nasty little... creatures.
The earwigs.
Yes, earwigs.
I haven't seen a whole lot this year. Have you?
I've seen three.
Yeah, instead of a million.
Yeah, but it's early. It's early.
Is it early?
Yeah. You don't.
Do you have? Did you have earwigs last year?
What do they look like?
Like an ant with a pincher thing
at the in the bottom at the end.
They eat anything.
Really?
They'll crawl right into a tomato and eat it up. They'll eat meat. They'll eat, and they love moisture. And there's millions of them. Millions. Wow.
But this year, you know, they were dropping out of your sunflowers. You would go by your sunflower plant and you'd hit it, and all of a sudden you'd have these earwigs crawling on you because they hid in
They were in our houses crawling around.
Maybe that's that female-male thing. They might not like our scent or something. Who knows? I don't think...
I want you to walk around my garden every day.
Maybe we should switch soap, John.
I'll have to ask my wife if because I've never heard her
It was an infestation in Grand Marais.
Really?
Yes, it was. And it was we were just this sort of central Grand Marais between East 5th and West 5th. I mean, there was just a little clump. And we all had earwigs, and they sort of moved. They sort of started at Ann Rosenquist's garden. Yes,
really?
Yeah, I even had a big pine tree fall down, and 30 feet up in the where it rotted off, I started cutting it with the chainsaw, and I thought there were ants coming out of the tree, but no, it was earwigs.
Earwigs.
They were even up in the tree.
I'm going to have to look that up when I get home. That's
yeah, they're very
fascinating.
Yeah.
Totally.
It is. And apparently, Diane Booth told me that last year, we were apparently the only community reporting problems with earwigs in their garden in Minnesota. You know, approximately the only community. And that now in the Twin Cities, there are people are calling their extension and saying, what is that weird, horrible-looking thing? It's my
garden.
Really? Yeah. So did you have any in yours? I bet
no.
You didn't, Dale.
No.
No. It's just downtown Grand Marais, which is very strange.
Did you get the Border Patrol on that? Because that almost sounds like a sinister plot here against something.
Yeah.
I would give them a ring next time. Who knows?
Yeah, what if anybody has any comments about anything we've been talking about? We haven't received a phone call yet.
No, we've just had that one comment. Give us a call, 387-1070 or 800-473-9847 to give us your comments on gardening.
On gardening. Or men in the garden. I mean, do you think it's a sexist topic? Heck with it. Let's have a discussion about that. Yeah. Do you think it is, actually? Do you think it's a sexist question?
I don't know. I'm what do you say? I'm very basic. And if I'm hungry and I like veggies, I'm going to grow them. I don't care who helps me. So it's kind of fun. I know before I met Kathy and I was living at Cobblestone by myself, you know, guy friends would come over and they'd look and they'd see a gal in my garden helping me and there'd be a couple of beers sitting there, this and that. And I always jokingly said, but they agreed with me that the garden is a chick magnet because it's better than going to a bar because at a bar, everybody's on guard. But they would come up and say, boy, your garden's full of weeds. Do you mind if I weed? And then they'd get into, you know, I always wish I had a garden and I live in an apartment. I can't have a garden. Then they'd come back with a couple beers and, you know, it was fun. And it was non-threatening. A garden is non-threatening, I think.
Yeah. So this is interesting, all you guys out there. If you're looking for a date, grow a garden.
Exactly. And that's what I told my kid. Go to yoga class or grow a garden, and he hasn't tried either one yet. And, so you call him on a Friday night. Yeah, I'm going out with the boys. So what do you do?
That's great. Well, now, Dell, what is your comment on all of this?
Oh, I just work in a garden because my wife don't, and I love it, and I'm retired, and I can't stand to sit still.
Okay. Well, where did you learn to garden? Your dad? You learned from your dad.
My dad.
You had to weed.
Yep.
Where was this that you, was it here?
In the suburbs of Twin Cities.
Okay.
New Brighton area.
Yep. And did your mom garden?
She did a little bit, but not much.
Did she do most of the canning, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad didn't do any.
Yeah.
I know my guests at the resort, it's amazing how many times the word psychiatrist or psychologist comes up. And they always say it's a heck of a lot cheaper to garden at home and get your marbles squared away with your plants. You know, they don't yell at you. They respond to your nurturing.
True. And you can really.
And you're saving all that money paying for that shrink. So whether it's true or not, I don't know. But that kind of goes hand in hand with people coming by the garden. Because
so sanity and growth. Girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this sounds like a great deal, everyone. Get a garden.
And if you lose your job, I know we canoe every year with Kathy's high school girlfriend from Silver Bay, and she married somebody who works in the mines up there, same class. He lost his job last year. They didn't have a garden, but when they always came over, we started our trips over here. He saw our garden. He said, this is the year, and I'm unemployed. We're starting a garden. Well, they kept calling with questions, and they put the list of everything they want in their garden. They dug up a garden. Their list was so long, they had to double the size of their garden already. Then about a month later, I get a call, and Tony says, I just dare the weeds to even, you know, step into my garden, because he had so much time on his hand. His garden was immaculate. There wasn't a weed in the whole thing. Now I'm embarrassed because I have more weeds than I do, you know, edible things, but I'll catch up. But to me, that was just a feel-good story, because he was out of work for about 7 months, and now they have a big garden this year, and they're hooked, and they made it bigger this year, and they're canning, and they're freezing, and
that's so
it's
wonderful.
A way of life, and you know you're eating good food.
Well, you know, Dale, you were having problems with beets, but I have problems with beets, but it's the opposite problem. I've got so many beets, I don't know what I'm going to do with them all. Do you can beets?
I have something that you should try. Last year I got a bucket of sand.
Okay.
And I put the beets in the bucket and filled it with sand.
Was it dry sand or wet sand?
Damp.
Damp sand.
Damp
okay.
sand. I put it in the basement. Of course, we leave and turn the heat in the house down, so it was cool all winter. So we came back and we ate some of them, and I set the bucket out in the garage. And I haven't even looked at it for a month. I took them out today, and they're just like you pulled them out of the ground.
Oh, really?
And they've been sitting in this warm garage all summer long. So this is 9 months that those beets are in the sand.
Okay, because I've read about this, but I've never done it. Okay.
I did the same thing with carrots, but they didn't turn out good.
But your basement was what, maybe 40?
Yeah, but yeah. It's been in the garage since April.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, you have to have a cool place to keep them. What do you do with if you have a lot of beets? Do you just eat them right away? Or?
Well, with the CSA, I have a CSA that I belong to, so a lot of my vegetables end up going there, but I have put them in the refrigerator, which isn't real good. You mean the plastic bag, they sort of rot. I mean,
yeah.
They keep for a while if you keep opening the bag. Or
put holes in it.
Yep, or use a whole bag that has holes.
Yeah. How about you, Jan?
We canned some, but we didn't have that many last year. But
okay.
I know when we came back from down south, I stopped by to see Dell. Because he left like the day we showed up, so I gave him a little grief. He doesn't like bad company, I guess. So, but anyway, he showed me those beets, and they were hard as a rock, and he gave me a couple beets. And I took them home. I think he gave me a couple carrots, too, and then we dug up two great big parsnips, and we still had some potatoes, and we did that vegetable bake that night in the oven.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I'm going, oh my God, middle of April when we should have snow on the ground yet, not this year, but talk about delightful eating. And I could not believe how good those beets and carrots were that Dell had put in his sand. And I remember Diane Booth lives in Lloyd Shear's old house up this Caribou.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved up here, I went and talked to him right away about gardening, because everybody said he's the guy to talk to. And he also has a root cellar. And that's the way he said he saves his carrots and his beets was in that sand. And he always kept the temperature 32 and above, right? And because he had a vent system in there. And I know when we remodel our basement, that's something that we're looking at right now. And we want to do that so we can keep this stuff more and just go down and pick it fresh. And
well, you know, one of the things that Northwoods Food Project has talked about is getting a community root cellar, so that people could have a place to store their produce from their gardens over the winter without having to dig their basement or put, you know, that if we had a community one, then maybe we could save our food better.
It really makes sense.
It would be cool. The potato, I think there used to be, didn't we used to grow potatoes here in the county?
A long time ago.
A lot of potatoes. And so I think there are aren't there old potato root cellars somewhere in the county where people would just bring them their produce, and then they would sell them out later?
Not that I know of.
No. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I know.
Beets, I don't think you have to keep cool.
Oh.
We bring them down to Jekyll Island and keep them in a closet, and, you know, it's warm.
Closet your beets?
But beets, you have to have in a plastic bag that's open. You can't dry them out or they'll shrivel.
Okay.
And if you get too wet, they'll rot. But if you keep them right, we've kept them down there all winter in the warm.
Interesting. Okay. Well, what about herbs? Do you grow herbs and use herbs? Big silence.
That's Kathy's department.
Yeah.
She's well, herbs and spices, and she's not a Kentucky Fried Chicken fan. So, no, she has a big box by the house, but then up in the garden.
For too. Cooking.
Yeah, for yeah. cooking.
Does
yeah.
she dry things, herbs too?
Yeah, she'll do
so that. So do you think too. This is a sexist thing that women grow the herbs?
Yeah.
Yeah. who knows? You know, I want to get my hands on something, and you know, those... they're so,
those little spindly leaves?
Yeah, and they're so fine, and they smell, and they're very nice to have in your food. And but I don't know. That's a good question. Why don't we grow herbs, though?
Yeah, great question.
I don't... It's a sexist thing.
You're both acting a little embarrassed, I want to say this.
Well, I don't grow flowers either, because...
So that was the other question.
If I can't eat them, I don't grow them.
And but you can eat some flowers, like nasturtiums.
Yeah. Yes.
They're yummy.
And I was running the Superior Hiking Trail, and I came out at Liz Severson's house, and she showed me her beautiful flower garden, and... I said, she said, do you grow flowers? I said, no, you can't eat them. And she said, what do you mean? And she took a handful of nasturtiums and pushed them in her mouth and started chewing. So I have put nasturtiums on my salads now because of Liz Severson.
Oh, well,
so,
great.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Anne, about the herbs?
Well, I was wondering about the flowers. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were taking bets before the program. What do you think they're not growing? Well, what about the possibility of not growing flowers? Okay, but I hadn't thought of the herbs till just now, and it's interesting that you're not growing herbs. Do you know any of your other guy gardener friends? Are they growing herbs?
You know, Jim Vick in Lutzen is a good gardener. And okay. I know he always broadcasts his lettuce. He always has this immaculate lettuce garden of different types that kind of looks like a flag.
I've seen it. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And I would venture to guess he might have some herbs because he's an herb kind of guy.
And you know who else has herbs? Lonnie Dupree.
Yeah.
Because he's a cook.
He's a cook.
Yeah. So he loves to cook. So maybe that's the thing. Neither of you are really into cooking. Yeah. And so herbs don't interest you that much.
See, Kathy's she does most of the cooking,
yep.
But it's kind of funny. She would go to India or something, and then I would cook for my kids, and I can cook too, and they say, gee, Dad, where'd you learn to do that? How come you don't do that more often? But see, there's meat in my stuff, and that's the difference. So in fact, somebody from Grand Marais last fall hit a deer right by my driveway. That's the best shot ever, because I just grabbed my winter sled, went up my driveway, and down it came, and it was hanging from the tree, and you know call the sheriff and they give you the permit. Well, Kathy, bless her soul, she'll can it for me. So any veggie meal she makes, we just cut it into little chunks. I'll throw 6 or 8 chunks, and I need protein. I don't do well without my protein,
right?
But I do have tofurkey on my pizzas, so.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah So who knows, but that's kind of I don't know.
Well, you're listening to Northern Gardening. We'd love to have your comments, 387-1070 or the 800 number, I forget.
It's 800-473-9847. You can call with your comments or questions, or if you'd like to pledge on our Come On In Pledge Drive.
I think there's actually, you can come on in and have cookies.
There's cookies and there's donuts and there's bars and there's carrot cake.
And you can meet everybody and see what the new station is like. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah, there's lots of great things here. So 387-1070 or 800-473-9847 or come on in. And actually, what we've been telling everybody when they come on in is they get to see the community garden.
That's right.
And there's 6 different plots out there.
There are.
And that's a pretty neat addition to the community. Yes.
Proficiency. It's so fun. It's so fun. And because they're beginning gardeners and they're people who have never gardened before.
And are there male gardeners?
Yeah. There are male gardeners.
Excellent.
Good.
And they are just as fill in the blank as these two guys.
Is that sexist?
I think it was. Okay, but one of the things we're going to do in the community garden, which probably next week we're going to do this, we're going to do a demonstration plot of ground covers or green manure. So we're going to put in some buckwheat and we're going to put in some annual rye so that people can see what they look like.